Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. While state officials are focused on medical marijuana and its potential abuse, there seems to be a larger concern when it comes to prescription drug abuse in Michigan. New data finding that well over 400 Michiganians are dying annually due to prescribed medications. Joining me to discuss this growing trend, Dr. David Cloth, on the board of directors of the American Society of Interventional Pain Physicians and the former president of that organization. Welcome to the show, Dr. Cloth.
Thank you very much.
Painkillers such as Vicodin and OxyContin appear to be especially prevalent when it comes to prescription drug abuse. Are these types of drugs prescribed too freely?
Sometimes. It has to do with a lot of physician training, and not all physicians have proper training in the use of these medications. In fact, 80 to 90% of doctors in this country have no formal training in the use of these kind of controlled substances. So we are advocating for better education for physicians. I think some physicians innocently contribute to the problem. There are a very small subset of physicians who may be involved in some of these pill mills, but predominantly physicians are doing this in an innocent, trying to help their patients fashion. But these medications, as you have alluded to in your opening, can be highly addictive and can cause other problems.
How powerful are these types of painkillers, and how dangerous are they when compared to drugs like cocaine or heroin?
Well, in fact, today, more people die from overdose from prescription drugs than they do from heroin, cocaine, and ecstasy combined. So they're far more dangerous and lethal than these other drugs. And in part, that has to do with the fact that most people who get to heroin are more experienced drug users. They've already gone through the oxycodone phase, or the oxy phase, as they call it, and they then convert over to heroin because it's cheaper. The real risk with these drugs is that kids take them and they're just not been exposed to them, and they take a very large dose, not realizing that it's unsafe. For instance, somebody who's been on these drugs on a chronic basis could take a 40-milligram methadone pill and be okay. But somebody who has never been exposed to methadone or any of these drugs takes a 40-milligram methadone pill, they're going to overdose, and unless somebody gets them in time, they will die. And so these, while they're legal, and that means that the government allows them to be sold in this country, they are only legal under a doctor's direct supervision and doctor's direct control. And that's what we need to make these drugs safe.
What's the typical cause of death then in these circumstances? Is it heart failure?
No, stop breathing. People just stop breathing and they get hypoxic or lack of oxygen, and they end up, their heart, the brain doesn't get oxygen, the brain dies, and if the heart doesn't get oxygen, the heart dies.
And literally their system is so depressed that the breathing just stops altogether.
Correct. All of these narcotics that you mentioned, the methadone, the Vicodin, the oxycodone, the Opana, which is the new, which is oxymorphone, which is the new craze, they are all respiratory depressants, meaning what they do is they slow the respirations.
And what about relapse rate? When you look at a young person that has abused prescription drugs, what's the likelihood they'll return to that behavior down the road?
Unfortunately, it is very high unless they get the proper help. These drugs are highly addictive and very easy to get started back on if you're not diligent in your activities.
You mentioned then that doctors aren't fully trained many times on the potential effects of these medications. Are they then ultimately responsible for this this trend we're seeing of this increase of deaths?
I don't think so. I mean, listen, doctors react to what their patients are coming in and asking for. And patients, this is a very now and me society where there should be a pill for every problem that exists today. Just because somebody has stress or they're depressed or they're this or that doesn't mean that we should be prescribing a pill for every one of those problems. And one of the biggest drugs abused today are anti-anxiety medications. Another one is the ADHD drugs like Adderall and Ritalin. And so this problem is not just the respiratory depressant drugs. This has to do with a society that looks for a pill for the solution for every single problem that exists. Well, you know, it's not wrong to have stress in life. You know, 50,000 years ago, the caveman had stress too. His stress was whether he's going to get eaten by a lion, whether he's going to be able to make a fire, whether he's going to be able to have food for his tribe or family, and they had their own stress. They didn't take drugs to deal with that. It's okay to have some stress in life. And I don't think that as a society we should be always turning to drugs for that, to deal with life and to deal with those stresses.
Now, with so many children being prescribed drugs like Ritalin for ADHD, is that allowing for the abuse of this medicine among young people?
Absolutely. There's no question about it. And it's one of the biggest abuses in college. Colleges today are the abuse of the stimulant medications. And the college kids are very smart today. They read a couple of things on the internet, and they go, okay, if I go to the doctor and I give him these four symptoms, I'll get a prescription for, you know, that drug. And the doctors go, well, you know, they got all the symptoms. It sounds right, tastes right, less filling. Let's give them the prescription. But what happens is the doctors are often not monitoring them. And it's not a matter of just being able to write the prescription with a pen. You need to be able to monitor these patients. You need to be able to identify signs of substance abuse and drug abuse. You need to perform frequent urine drug tests, prescription monitoring program checks, pill counts. There's a lot of ways for doctors to be trained to monitor these medications to ensure the safety of their patients. The problem is that a lot of doctors just don't know that that's how these medications should be handled. And there is way too much of these stimulant medications now being prescribed in the college population.
Now, in fact, one of the reasons is that drugs like Ritalin, they're purported to help students be more productive. What's the real danger, then, of using Ritalin and maybe slightly abusing it?
Well, they're addictive. They're stimulants. They're uppers. They interfere with sleep. They lead to hyperactivity. And often the way they're countered is with downers like alcohol or other depressive medications. So once the student finishes studying, they need some other drug to bring them back down so that they can go to sleep.
You know, Michigan's rate of emergency hospital visits for prescription drug abuse is 310 for every 100,000 visits to an emergency department. That's well above the national rate of 238. How are these types of visits typically handled by medical professionals? Is there some follow-up?
Well, you know, it'll depend on the individual emergency room department, and I'm sure it varies hospital to hospital. You know, some of these people will be directed to a drug rehab clinic. Some of them will be directed to counseling. Some of them just get their drug overdose treated and sent home. You know, it depends on how they do it, how busy they are, and what their program is set up for it. I mean, today, drug rehab programs are inundated with people who are hooked onto a variety of these medications. And in fact, the vast majority, is my understanding of these clinics, the majority of their people who enter their program aren't hooked to illegal drugs like cocaine and heroin. They're hooked to prescription drugs.
What kind of system is there currently in place to stop a patient from approaching multiple doctors to receive larger than necessary amounts of a drug?
There is something called a prescription drug monitoring program, and I believe that Michigan does have a program. The problem is that many doctors don't know how to check it. They don't use it regularly. And that is a program that basically says if you get a prescription that's a controlled substance, it goes into a state data bank, and that any doctor can go and look that up and see if you're getting drugs from another doctor, so that you can't do what we call doctor shopping and get, you know, prescription medications of the same type from eight different people. But the other issue you have today is we're in a highly mobile society, and a patient can go to multiple different states and get these drugs, and these programs in the different states aren't even connected.
Okay, and finally here, we're seeing this trend now. It's been, let's say, 10 years or so of this sharp increase of deaths due to prescription medications. What do you see moving ahead over the next 10 years in terms of this trend continuing or somehow being reversed?
Well, the federal government came out with an action plan in April, and I think if that action plan can be followed, that we will begin to make some headway, but it will take time. If the prescription monitoring programs can be coordinated from all the states, if we can get 50 states with programs, currently there are about 35 states with programs, we need all 50 states to have programs, and we need them interconnected. In addition, there is some legislation that is being bantered around in various offices and actually has been put into some draft legislation to require physicians to get some education. There's also going to be some greater public education about this. I think if we can do some of those public initiatives, that we can get this problem under control and we can begin to rein it in.
Dr. David Cloth on the board of directors and former president of the American Society of Interventional Pain Physicians. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Cloth.
Thank you. I've enjoyed being with you today.
I'm Michael Cohen, and we'll be back with more Capital City Recap on 1320 WILS.